keep it in line. What a great song, Dan Day. I mean, oh, man.
This is the way you kick off a show.
Way
man.
To come into the show hot, my friend.
That's, you guys are killer. Killers.
That's how you do it, bro. I love the Killers, man. What's going on, everybody out there? I'm Zach Duarte alongside Manny Navarre.
Navarro.
Or Navarro.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
It's okay, Dan. I'm just
I'm having computer issues right now.
Listen,
come
man,
on.
That was like you were making sweet love to the microphone in that update. That was great, man. I appreciated that update. I don't know about anybody else.
Hopefully it gets better throughout the night. Computer issues.
Well, I mean, like the station is falling apart, so we're chugging to the finish line of these two stations over here, man.
Can't wait to see the new place.
Oh, man, I can't wait. As much as I was dreading it when it like initially was a concept, if it's all brand new equipment, state of the art, sign me up, bro. Look, both stations, 4-inch TVs. I mean, look at the TVs in here, man.
These are actually clear, though, compared to the one at 790.
Okay, but they're still, like, I still have to kind of squint, though.
You do, because you got the light on it there. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So we got Manny Navarro here, joins us. Going to be with us till 10 o'clock tonight, covers the Canes for The Athletic. Manny, what's going on, man? How's your week?
Week's been great, man. Been able to, you know, this offseason, there's really not a lot going on with the Canes right now other than recruiting. So, you know, there's all the recruiting guys are all over that stuff. Andrew Ivins and the guys at Cane Sport, right? They cover all that stuff. So this is the kind of time for me to relax a little bit, work on some stories that, you know, you do during the offseason, and then to chill and go to the gym, man. I'm finally going to the gym again.
Yeah, I saw that. I like it. I approve. I love it. Then you went out to lunch yesterday. Where the hell did you go yesterday? There's a bunch of TVs there.
Yeah, I went to Twin Peaks. Met up with a buddy of mine.
Oh, man. I got a Twin Peaks gift card I need to use, man. Which one did you go to, Davey?
I live in Pine, so I went to the one in
okay,
Pine.
Okay, all right. You got scenic views, you know.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing to go to Twin Peaks.
No, not at all. If you guys want to get in on the show, you can text in the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. So I have a running theme here. When I go and do shows on 560, because I do 90% of my shows on 790, that I try my best. I've never done it yet, and I'm waiting for it to happen, where I say the wrong station numbers, like the phone number, the text line, or even the station, you know, call letters, 560 WQAM or 790 The Ticket. Haven't done it yet, so I'm hoping this won't be the first show where that happens. I will be thoroughly embarrassed.
I will try to keep pointing to the sign every time you're going
to
say
it. I try to. When I go to break, I turn and so I can read the sign. I do that every time.
To remind yourself, yeah.
Yeah, just like, because it's in huge letters over here to the left. But lots to get into today, as we'll be on the air till 10 o'clock here on 560. At 6:30, we're going to talk to Andre Fernandez, covers the Marlins for The Athletic. Why the hell not, right? Like, Why not?
What else do we got going
right,
on?
Right, you know.
Andre scored as many runs as the Marlins this week, by the way.
Here's the fun thing, too. It's like, maybe Andre can break down the baby cakes with us.
he's been around.
Now, here's the thing.
Leagues.
If you guys don't know about me, for the last few weeks, I've done this thing with the baby cakes, which are the Marlins AAA affiliate, where it's just a cool logo. And now I'm in it. Now I'm in it because I actually went to a concert in Jacksonville a few weeks ago, and it was right next to where the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp play. So now my thing is the Marlins minor league teams for whatever reason. I don't know what, probably because the Marlins really suck.
And you got to remember where I'm from. I moved just a couple of months ago. New Orleans.
I didn't know that.
I used to go to Baby Cakes games for $25. You could sit in the suite.
He could have brought your hat.
Dan Day.
All you can eat, all you can drink for $25 in the suites.
Well, get this, right? I had a thing with one of my producers over at 790 where I want to flex my muscles a little bit. You know,
right.
I follow all the guys on the Levitard show. They're kind of my pseudo friends. Like, I don't really hang out with them, but we're in the business together, so we all know of each other. I follow Mike Ryan. He gets all this free merch from teams and minor league baseball teams. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. So I reached out to the merchandise coordinator of the Baby Cakes. And I just got a response, Dan, today. I just opened my email 3 minutes before the show. And they are going to be sending me some Baby Cakes caps.
They are super cool over there. One time I went to a game, they had severe weather, and it got rained out, and I sent a letter saying I really enjoyed it. I looked to go back. they sent me some free tickets saying, no, just come on back anytime. Here's some tickets or, you know, any day passes. Come watch the game. Very accommodating.
Well, here's my email to them, all right? And I'm trying to do my best to get some free merch here. So I said, hello. I'm not going to say the person's name. I said, hello, my name is Zach Duarte. I'm an evening host in Miami for Entercom Miami Sports. We have the Miami Marlins down here, and since they're not doing so well, on my show we sometimes bring up the Baby Cakes. Their logo is a hit. I was wondering if there would be any way to get some Baby Cakes hats or shirts down here so we could promote on our social media and whatnot. Thank you for your time. I got an email back today. Hey, Zach, I can definitely send you some caps. I'll put some in the mail for you on Monday. I'm so excited! I'm so excited, dude.
Funny story, about 2 years ago, they let the fans decide who the new mascot was going to be, and Baby Cakes was chosen.
Oh, I love it.
It's awesome.
What was their old logo?
They were the Zephyrs.
The Zephyrs. Okay, that's right. That's right.
And the logo's awesome. It's a baby.
I love the logo.
Coming out of a king cake with like a crooked eye and everything. It's
I'm
going to
wear that hat so much. Now, here's the thing. Now I want to start doing this with other minor league teams. So I have a couple of minor league teams in mind. I know right off the bat, I want to hit up the Flying Chancletas.
The Flying Chancletas, that'd be a great...
Oh, if you don't believe me, look them up. That's a real team.
No.
Look it up. Google it right now.
Where do they play?
Just, I don't even know. I think San Antonio?
Oh,
somewhere Hispanic?
Flying Chanclas, is that their name?
That could be, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. Flying Chanclas.
Is it San Antonio?
Yep.
There we go.
Wow.
I'm going to reach out.
The Flying Chanclas. I feel like they
and
should
And their logo is super cool because it's like the Miami Vice jerseys.
Yes, the colors are great. Yeah.
Look at that, man. Look at that hat, dude.
The Flying Chanclas. I feel like they should be playing in Little Havana.
Oh, my gosh. That would be a better attended game than the Miami Marlins would.
The Chanclas?
The Flying Chanclas, man.
I'm willing to bet there would be a lot of merchandise sold for the
Chanclas.
Oh,
my gosh. What a great logo.
Hey, you know, speaking of free stuff, did you give the code word yet for that free money?
Wow, thanks for reminding me, man. I totally forgot. I'm in big trouble now, aren't I?
No, just I want to give away some of Frito's money.
Time for your chance to win $1,000. It's 560 WQAM's Take Donald's Dollars. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word. I'm going to tell you the word in just a second.
Okay.
You're going to have to guess it.
Okay.
To 72881, and you're registered. All right, here's the word, okay? I can't even say it because that's the word. All right. When you go to the gym and there's a big guy using the equipment, you would consider him
beefy.
Okay. All right. This word is hard to guess.
They don't have to guess. You can give it to
them. It's too hard to guess. The word's tough.
All right.
That's why.
That's a tough word
exactly
to figure out.
I didn't want to say it.
I didn't know we were playing pyramid game?
The guessing. Yeah, I would be bad at that game. Text T-O-U-G-H, tough, to 72881. Now, if you don't win this time, your next chance is Monday morning with Joe and Zach. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. It's brought to you by Anajar and Levine. Accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. The word is tough. T-O-U-G-H to 72881. That's why Dan Day's over there. He's producing the show and making sure that I stay on there. I was just so pumped about the free merch.
Yeah. You're excited. I definitely got to get myself. When you send the Flying Chanclas an email, make sure you get me a hat too.
Gotcha.
I want to have one of those.
What about, there's another team I think you need to check out. They got a pretty good logo too. They are what is their damn name? The Nuevo Mexico Mariachis. We got some good minor league logos, man. Text 56022 to let me know what minor league baseball team I should ask for free merch. I'm going to flex my muscles here, man.
You do it.
I'm super pumped, man. Maybe I should get like a jumbo shrimp. Maybe I should start first with the Marlins minor league affiliates and then branch out a little bit. Because I could sell them like, hey, I work in Miami, the Marlins suck, so I talk about the Baby Cakes. That was an easy pitch. I did good there, right? That was a good sales job by me, right?
Makes sense.
But like, there's some other Marlins minor league teams. They have one in the city in New York. I can't remember the name. It's like, it starts with an M. Look up the Marlins minor league affiliates, right? And it's a very small city in New York. It's like their low ball A team.
Yeah, they're in that New York Penn League, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's their name again?
Batavia Muck Dogs.
Batavia Muck Dogs. Thank you. Right. Thank you. Thank
you. Well, our first guest, Andre Fernandez, who works with me at The Athletic, he just finished visiting Clinton, Iowa, not too long ago.
There we go. Man, that must have been exciting for him.
Yes, to go out there in the cornfields. And, yeah, their team name is the Clinton Lumberjacks.
I love it.
Or the Lumber Kings. I'm sorry.
I love it. Kings. That's perfect for me because my Instagram name is Lumberjack Zach.
Okay.
That's an easy sell right there.
Right.
Now, that's my next victim. That's what I'm going to text next. 560-22 is where you can get in on the show alongside Manny Navarro. Will be here on 560 till 10 o'clock. We'll talk to Andre Fernandez at 6:30 and Ira Winderman sometime in the 8 o'clock hour. He couldn't nail down a specific time because he's at the NBA Combine right now, but we'll talk to him not only about the Heat. We got some breaking news here that we'll get to on the other side here about a potential trade target for the Miami Heat. We'll get into that. We'll get into the NBA Conference Finals. We'll get into the NHL. We'll just mention the scores. The Marlins a little bit. We'll go all around the sporting world. We'll do all that up until 10 o'clock right here on 560 WQAM. Back here on 560 WQAM, Zach Duarte, Manny Navarro. We'll take you up till 10 o'clock tonight. So we're going to talk to Andre Fernandez in about 15 minutes. Ira Winderman actually just texted me. He's going to join us a little bit earlier today. He's going to join us at 7:30. So back-to-back hours, we'll have guests. Ira is over at the NBA Combine, so we'll talk to him, see what's going on over there, who the Heat should draft. But there's also kind of a breaking, would you call this breaking news?
Well, it's a breaking news rumor, right? I mean, down here, we're so hard-pressed for good news that any rumors involving trades and big names moving around, we get excited about, so that's what I would call it.
Well, what is the headline, Manny? You've got it over there. What is the headline?
Yes. A few hours ago, I guess, the Sporting News, Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, said league sources have told Sporting News this week that one team to watch in the Mike Conley hunt is Miami, which is waiting on Goran Dragic's decision on his $19 million player option for next year. Heat president Pat Riley has long coveted Conley. Miami was interested in signing Conley before he re-signed with Memphis 3 years ago and still wants to bring him to South Florida.
All right, so it's definitely something we're going to get into with when Ira comes on, because you and I were even talking about this before the show. It's like, what is the remainder of his contract? 2 years?
He's got 2 years and $67 million left.
God. Oh, man.
Which means you go from having that money locked up through the end of this coming season in 2020 and having that money to spend in 2020 versus locking it up for another year after that.
Now, here's the thing about that, right? And you said this before the show. I want to give you credit for that. I have not been particularly high on the 2020 free agency class.
Right. There's not a lot of great names in there.
Right. Like, I remember Barry Jackson, one of his bigger names was DeMar DeRozan. And I'm like, DeMar DeRozan doesn't put this team any higher than kind of where they could already finish, which is 4-5-ish in the Eastern Conference.
Right. Obviously the big name is Anthony Davis in 2020, right? And obviously it's going to depend on where he gets traded and whether or not he re-signs with that organization. Then it's Draymond Green, Andre Drummond, DeRozan, as you mentioned, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, who has a player option in Boston for that season, Danilo Gallinari, and Marc Gasol. And Kyle Lowry. Those are the top 11 free agents for their 2020.
Not a sexy crop, right?
No.
So Mike Conley's contract will take you through the 2020 season, and that might open things up for 2021. So you were asking me before the show, would I trade Hassan Whiteside for Mike Conley straight up? And my initial reaction was, hell no.
Right.
Because I want to get out from under that Hassan Whiteside contract and have that money open sooner rather than later. And you bring up the point that the free agency class is not all that sexy, which I agree with you. I agree with you.
Right.
And I think Mike Conley is, if Mike Conley was on this team, he'd be the best player on the team.
He would be. That's if Goran Dragic isn't here. And
I still think Mike Conley would be the best player on the team.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the guy's been injured quite a bit the last few years. And to me, it's about health. And he's going to be 30. He's 31 right now. So you'd have him through age 33. Look, he's a younger version of what Goran is, essentially. Conley was a better player, I guess, at his peak than Goran was. But again, do you want the money to spend in the summer of 2020, or are you okay sort of moving on to the summer of 2021 and then spending your money?
Right, which, I mean, even if you did have money to spend in 2020, I know that Pat Riley came out a few months ago and said we could sign two max players. It's just not the truth.
Right.
It's not the truth. They don't have the kind of money to get two max players. So we're looking at a situation where I think Mike Conley makes his team a little bit better. I think he kind of cements, if he's healthy, he kind of cements this team as a playoff team. That's not saying much.
Right.
But I think it puts them in that guaranteed 5, 6, 7, 8 range.
What's interesting
as opposed to being right out of the playoffs, which is where they were this year.
Yeah, what's interesting is how much the Heat actually care about that at this point, because obviously they don't have the draft pick for next year, right? This was the year that they have their pick, so next year.
I think the Heat have their pick next year, I believe.
I thought they still owed the Suns 1 year.
I think that's 2021, I think.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think that the Miami Heat own their pick this year, and they own it next year as well. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that.
I mean, I guess I thought they had traded one of those away, the future picks.
I think it could be next year. I'm not 100% sure.
Let me double check. I'll look it up now. But
yeah, see, I'm looking right here. 2020, they had their first round pick. They have no picks in the 2021 draft.
So it's the year after. Okay. So I don't know. Maybe that's what Riley's considering. Hey, because Conley would take you through the 2020 season. So you probably still want to be a playoff team or in contention or, you know, competing for the postseason than giving up a lottery pick in 2021. So I don't know. I mean, my guess is Miami would want to see what kind of health Conley's really in before making a deal. And then, you know, at that point, you're moving on from Goran if you're trading him away. You're not going to have him and Goran on the same team.
I love seeing some of these trades as, like, reasons why Miami doesn't own their own picks. So Miami's own pick was sent to Charlotte in a trade. This is this year's second round pick. Miami's own second round pick was sent to Charlotte in a trade for Shabazz Napier. Like, oh my God, that was 5 years ago.
Remember, a lot of this stuff was done to appease LeBron, right? Because you were trying to build the team around him.
Yeah.
And so that's where all these moves sort of came from. The mistakes that Pat made were signing, you know, the James Johnsons and Deion Waiters of the world for 4 year contracts when you probably didn't have to make that kind of a commitment.
Then Miami acquired Boston's top 55 protected pick in the Zoran Dragic trade. And then traded that to Memphis so they could take the Chris Anderson trade.
I mean, second round picks, one thing I'll tell you, you can basically buy second round picks from teams. You know, there's a lot of teams that have second round picks. They don't want to necessarily use it, or they'll draft a player that's going to go play in Europe, for instance. So to me, if you wanted to get a second, the ones that have value, obviously, are the first rounders, and especially the ones that are going to be in the first round, high in the first round, a top 15 pick.
Miami's sent their 2020 second round pick to Boston in the Zoran Dragic trade also. And then Miami traded their own 2021 second round pick to Portland in the Brian Roberts trade.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is just to stay you know, with the salary cap and avoid the luxury tax. That's what these moves are made. That's why you have second round picks.
Miami's 2023 second round pick was sent to Dallas in the Josh McRoberts trade.
Just to get McRoberts off the books, man. That's what you got to do. That's part of the game, man.
For being such a sexy city, such sexy logo, those are not the most sexy of trades and deals.
How about, here's a sexy trade, though. Miami potentially traded their second-round pick in 2024. It's a top 55 protected pick. So if Miami's somewhere 56 through 60 in the draft, which, by the way, would mean that they're competing for an NBA championship, they sent that to Cleveland in the Dwayne Wade trade for 2024.
That was worth it.
You could potentially have Dwayne Wade's son in the NBA by that time, right?
Yeah, you could. He's a high school senior now, so yeah, he may not be playing college basketball very long.
There you go. There you go. And then in 2025, Miami owns their first and second round pick. Only 2022 and 2025 does Miami own both of their own picks.
Look, what do you think of what they're getting with the 13th pick this year? You've seen some of the names bandied about.
Listen, I'm not even going to pretend. I have no clue.
Do you think there's a guy in there that could help Miami at 13? Do you think just having the 13th pick?
Sure.
Do you think it's good enough to get somebody who can really help you? Or do you think it's better used as a trade chip?
It's good enough to get you exactly what you have on this team, which is a bunch of guys.
Right. Another rotation player.
Like, I've been saying this for months, man. If you go for it, this is where you're going to be, either on the outside of the playoffs looking in and at the very end of the draft lottery, or you make it into the playoffs and you get swept in the first round. I literally wrote a blog today for 790. I don't know if they've sent it out yet or not, but which I was thinking of having you proofread it, by the way. Because that's my new thing. They're letting me write the blogs because I want to get more into writing. So, right. We're going to talk about this topic too, is how I don't think this draft killed tanking at all.
You don't?
No. If anything, it incentivized the teams in the middle of the pack to tank even more.
Absolutely. I watched the Pelicans take on the Suns because I'm a big fan. I watch almost every game. And the depth.
Oh, God, you got to love this Zion Williamson thing, huh?
I know. I'm loving it. I was actually on the radio Tuesday night when that happened. I was losing my mind. But I watched the Pelicans and the Suns do everything in their ability to lose that game, including the Pelicans calling a timeout that they didn't have in overtime.
Nice. Technical foul.
Yes. Lost by one.
Wow.
By the way, the email to the 790 The Ticket insiders went out, which I'm mentioning here on 560, at 610. So you can check out my blog there. Or you can just go to the 790 The Ticket website and check it out, which I'm also on 560 promoting. So
I'm going
to
read it during the break.
All right, cool.
I'll proofread it then.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's totally cool, man. Congratulations on Zion Williamson, my friend.
Very excited. A lot of people in Miami not too excited about us possibly getting Mike Conley. They've gone to the text line. Right there at 56022 saying, oh, no, this would totally kill us. If Pat makes this trade, he's got to go. The vision.
I don't know if I agree with any of that.
Just including picks. And Mike Conley's 31. Hell no. Not a lot of positivity from there.
Well, and here's the thing. I texted Falero on the break, so I'm going to get access to the text line here in just a second. So keep your text rolling in 56022. I don't think the Mike Conley trade, if it was made for something like a Hassan Whiteside, would be a bad move. It would clear things for Hassan and Kelly. I'm sorry, for Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk down low, where you get a little bit too. You're opening up the space. You're opening up space on the floor, basically, if you get rid of Hassan Whiteside and you add a guy like Mike Conley. Then the other thing that it makes interesting is what happens to Goran Dragic at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So
I mean, I guess you could play them together, but.
I don't know. No. No.
Right.
No. That's
I mean, it's not the winning combination. You want to see more of Justice Winslow with the ball.
Hey, at that point, if Goran opts in, that's a trade chip that you have.
Right.
He's not a bad player for the amount of money he's making.
I mean, my guess is the moment these guys opt in, the Heat is going to be trying to trade Goran Dragic and Hassan in any way, shape, or form. And this is the final year of their contract. I thought that, having covered the team for 3 years, Seeing them up close and some of the chemistry issues that this team has had over the last year or two, I would think Pat Riley would be trying hard to get rid of those guys at this point.
On the other side, we'll talk to Andre Fernandez, covers the Marlins for The Athletic. Tonight is Cuban Heritage Night at Marlins Park. Croquetas and cafecito for everyone. But we'll talk to Andre Fernandez. He had an article recently, what you said on Dontrell Willis.
Yeah, Q&A with Dontrell that I thought was a really good story.
And then also he was in Timbuktu, Iowa.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah, we'll talk to Andre Fernandez. Also about the Marlins and what's going on. And some baby cakes. We'll get some baby cakes breakdown next with Andre Fernandez here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. Back here on 560 WQAM, Zach Duarte alongside Manny Navarro taking you up here till 10 o'clock tonight. And the only professional team still going right now is the Marlins. So we reached out to our good old buddy, Andre Fernandez, who covers the Marlins for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at FernandezAndreC. Now, Andre, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I've gotten the New Orleans Baby Cakes to send me some free merch. How pumped should I be to sport the New Orleans Baby Cakes? Andre, there? Is Andre there? I don't hear him. Andre! No.
He got...
Looks like we lost Andre.
He got caught in that fire in Game of Thrones.
Did you watch that?
He got wiped out. Yeah, I watched it.
Are you one of these anti the way it's developing?
I think we all kind of expected some of those twists and turns, right?
Yeah, for sure. And everyone's like, oh, everybody's mad. I'm like, you realize? Like, I think there was a petition signed. 500,000 people signed a petition, and I think there was 48 million people who watched the episode.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe 1%?
What I love is all the people now who come out and are like, oh, I don't like the story arc or I don't like the character arc. I'm like, dude, did you ever use those phrases before?
Right. I remember you commented that on my Facebook post.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it, all of a sudden people went to USC film school. Like, all of a sudden everybody knows what a good story arc is. And
I've enjoyed it. I don't care what anybody says. Is Andre available? What's going on? He don't like us? He don't want to come on the show? He doesn't want to talk baby cakes,
I think he'd rather talk about Game of Thrones, to be honest.
Listen, look, baby cakes are doing well, man. You said they're in the break, right?
Above 500? 21-20.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, I would kill for that for the Marlins.
Should I start reading some baby cake stats?
I did it the other day, absolutely. That's the team we need to be covering down here, not the Marlins.
Austin Dean, 375 batting average.
Hey.
8 homers, 30 RBIs.
Okay.
You got Zach Gallen, the pitcher down there in the minors, AAA. 5-0 record, 1.16 ERA.
Okay, all right.
64 strikeouts, 9 walks.
All right.
Those are like minor league all-star numbers right there.
Listen, we will get into the baby cakes in just a second. Let's go back out. Covers the Marlins for the Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Fernandez Andre C. Andre, how you doing tonight, my friend? No, Andre. He's not a fan of us right now.
He keeps hiding.
Yeah. I'm just going to yell the next time they say he's there. I'm just going to yell. Say, is Andre there? I'm just going to yell at him. I'm just going to say, is Andre there? I'm going to yell. Andre! I guess he doesn't want to come on. That's cool. In terms of what is going on with the Marlins, Manny, what are they, 10-31 now? They got a series tonight against the Mets about to get underway as it looks like they're going to face DeGrom. Your computer just fell. I mean, these studios are falling apart, my friend.
It's all good. I'm just gonna hold it up and type with my left hand. How does that work?
There we go. These studios are falling. Like, you know how the microphone's been falling in my hand, right? Looks like. Is Andre? Are you there? I'm just gonna yell at Andre if he's there. They're telling me he's there. Andre.
Oh.
Andre, I hear you.
Yeah, now you can't hear me.
There we go, Andre.
He escaped Daenerys' wrath. He was able to get away.
Let me reset this. Joining us now here on 560 WQAM alongside Manny Navarro, Andre Fernandez covers the Marlins for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, Fernandez Andre C. Andre, how pumped are you for the Marlins to get swept by the Mets?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought we were, for starters, I was trying to, unbury myself, and all these bodies here, and Arias over there in the corner trying to, get on the horse and, all that kind of thing. But anyway, I actually heard your question about the baby cake swag a minute ago, and I was trying to, I was talking to myself, trying to tell you that, you really got to get down to Jacksonville, get some of that jumbo shrimp swag. That's even better than that one.
Well, it's funny because I was just in Jacksonville and I went to a concert that was right next to the stadium of the jumbo shrimp. I took a picture of the jumbo shrimp. Look, this was just my dabble in trying to get free merch. I'm going all in. I'm one for one. I'm batting 1,000. I'm going all in on all the minor league teams. I'm going for the flying chanclas. I'm going for the which is the other one?
You gotta get the little plush toy of like the Scampi, which is one of the funniest mascot names I've ever heard. The jumbo shrimp up there.
Zach, I've put together a list of some of the teams you should hit up, like the Traverse City Beach Bums.
I love it.
Wichita Wing Nuts, and my favorite, the Normal Corn Belters.
I love it. I mean, Andre, why are the minor league baseball?
Don't forget the one that the shrimp are playing this weekend, the Montgomery Biscuits.
Oh, my God. The minor league baseball, like, it almost seems like there's no holds barred when it comes to naming a minor league team, right?
It's just, no, at all. It's like the goofiest, but, like, the funniest, naming. Minor league baseball is just a unique thing. Like, really, it's a fun experience. And sometimes, you get a pretty good atmosphere out there. It's a fun time, but you embrace the goofiness. You think of the weirdest name you can. I like going out every once in a while.
Now, you were just in Iowa, right? You were in like Timbuktu, Iowa?
Yes, sir. I actually got a chance to check out a few of the Lumber Kings. That's another funny name out there. The Clinton Lumber Kings. That's where, basically the top guys from the ones that they drafted last year are out there on that team right now. And, small town, you go out there and, the stadium has been there since like 1937 and, little mom and pop shops everywhere. You can't get more small town than where that one's at.
So, Dre, you've written a few articles for The Athletic this week, and I want to start with your first one, actually, because, you know, we know about how bad the Marlins are, and it's been well-documented, all the struggles they've been having, scoring runs, et cetera. But I thought the article you wrote, Catching Up with Dontrell Willis, was a fun read. And for the listeners out there, I'd suggest you get a chance to check it out, especially if you love the Marlins and love the D-Train. But in your own words, how would you encapsulate that conversation you had with him? What kind of grabbed you the most from that article?
I mean, I think it was just Dontrell, you know, interesting him sharing some of those stories that, you know, people maybe, you know, so much has been written about the Bartman game, so much has been written about the 0-3 championship run that they went on, which is pretty remarkable, the way they came back there against the Cubs and then, you know, beating the Yankees. But the one highlight that I led with in the story was the way he said that, you know, him and Lenny Harris are coming into the parking lot there. At the time, it was Pro Player, you know, one of the million names that stadium's had. And Sosa runs into him, and Sosa and Lenny Harris had been teammates, you know, that earlier that season and on the Cubs. And then he, just messing with Lenny Harris, says something like, "You guys ready to go home today?" You know, like, I'm just messing around. But Lenny Harris took it as, okay. So he runs in and tells Josh Beckett, who then he said, then in Dontrell's words, says, when Josh Beckett found out, he was like, "What?" And Dontrell says he went full Texan right there. And from that point on, you know, the badass came out. He started, you know, we know what happened next. He went out there, shut the Cubs down. And if that doesn't happen, and people forget, if that doesn't happen, there's not even a Bartman game to begin with.
Right.
Joined here by Andre Fernandez, covers the Marlins for The Athletic. I do want to ask you a couple of Marlins questions real quick. And in all seriousness,
yeah.
For the Baby Cakes, last night, Lewis Brinson hit a home run, stole a base, and drove in three runs. But as, I think, it, what was it you said, Manny, 17 strikeots and 46 plate
46
appearances.
46 at bats, yeah.
Andre, have we seen the last of Lewis Brinson at the major league level?
I don't think we've seen the last of him, but I think it's going to take more than just a few, you know, like you're talking about the stolen base and the home runs. I think it's going to take a lot of, you know, consistent at bats down there, and I think for them to really be convinced that this time it'll be different when he comes up and can really just perform at this level. I mean, I think they're looking beyond just the regular numbers. They're looking at the fact that he has struggled at this level. He's hit well down there before. I mean, let's not forget, he hit like .331 before last season down in AAA, and then he came up, and we know what happened. He's got to learn how to face major league pitching consistently and beat major league pitching consistently. You know, and that means, you know, guys are going to throw not just the power stuff, but the curveballs, the breaking balls. He was hitting like .056 against breaking balls while he was up here. I mean, it's just, that's the kind of stuff that he's going to see at AAA. Not as good as the big league level, but when he shows for a while that he can match up well and do that consistently, I think that's when they would probably give him another chance. I mean, they better hope they haven't seen the last, or else that's a pretty big loss considering what they gave up for him.
Andre, you had, I think, a piece in the article by Tim Britton, who covers the Mets for The Athletic, about what's gone wrong for the Marlins. Give me your Spark Notes version of what's gone wrong for the Marlins.
Basically, this team, just from top to bottom in the lineup, there hasn't really been one guy that you can rely upon to drive in runs. I mean, there's not a lot of power threat. There's no power threats, really, overall. I mean, Jorge Alfaro is the one guy you look at and say he's going to probably get to be that, you know. But he's still basically learning. There's only a second full season, you know. He still strikes out a lot. He's still going through the process of adjusting, you know, to basically be an everyday major league catcher. And the talent's there, the potential's there. But I think there's just no, you know, from night to night, there's no one that you can really say, you know, can carry the team or really just spark something. And then on top of that, just guys have just been in, like, terrible slumps to start the year. I mean, Starling Castro's having probably the worst season of his career so far. You know, Brian Anderson has taken a little bit of a step back. He's, you know, he hasn't been the guy he was last season. Then obviously the Brinson thing hurts because they were counting on him to come in and right in the middle of that lineup make an impact, and then look what happened. So, I mean, it's just really the offense, and then that puts the pressure on these young pitchers, which, you know, Caleb Smith is pitching like an all-star. Some of these other guys aren't pitching too bad. They've had moments where they've had great games, but, you know, night in and night out, you're asking these guys to throw one, two hitters, you know, maybe give up and then only give up a run or two. And, you know, that's a tall ask for any pitcher, let alone guys that are in their second year in the majors starting.
Andre, the article you ran today in The Athletic, titled What the Marlins Can Salvage as They Trend Forward, in a historically bad season. You talk about a lot of the elements as far as what they could actually look forward to developing some of these younger players. But you and I, before the article came out, we're talking this afternoon about potentially managerial changes and maybe some changes in the front office. Do you think there's the possibility of that happening here in the next couple weeks, couple months, where, you know, the fact that they're 10 and 31 and they've struggled as much as they have, that there's going to be a fall guy in place for this?
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's going to change anything. Let's say if you're referring to Mattingly per se, I don't think it's really going to change anything one way or the other, because there's nothing much he can do at this point that's going to really turn this around this season. You knew what we were getting into. It's worse, obviously, than people expected it to be. But at the same time, whether they end up going 40 and 122, or maybe they win 50, maybe they win 55, you know, it's really just they're not equipped to really be much better of a team this year. That's beyond. And he's not, it's not really his fault, and at the same time, he can't really solve it. Then again, managers sometimes do have to take the fall for that. And if they feel like, the thing to me is, like, if they don't identify that Mattingly is the guy for them going forward, then it's just a matter of time. But at this point, writing it out the rest of the season until his contract is up, it just depends how soon, if they feel like maybe there's an inside hire, an inside promotion, somebody on staff already, they want to, you know, make the manager already and have him get a head start going forward, or something, or some situation like that, then that's different. Then they might decide to do something like that. And then front office, same thing. I mean, right now we know, you know, Gary Denbo has a lot of say in this, in the organization, in terms of decisions. You know, Mike Hill's been here for a very long time, and I know for a fact he's been out scouting a lot of the potential draft picks, you know, around the country in the last few weeks. So we know he's involved up to that point for sure. But then we know that in the couple of months that follow, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be the time where trade talks heat up, and then you got the deadline on July 31st. So, you know, I would assume he's going to still be involved, you know, if he's, you know, and heavily involved, unless they want to make a change before then.
Andre, obviously everybody notices what's going on with the offense, but I would say that before the season, a lot of the dialogue surrounding the Marlins was how good their pitching is going to be, and I would argue that it's been very bad, except for Caleb Smith, who obviously is 3-1, lost a tough game the other night as the Marlins were held scoreless, I think for the ninth time in 41 games. But you're looking at the other four starting pitchers. Urania is 1-6 with a 4.44 ERA. You got Sandy Alcantara, who's supposed to be kind of a young, blossoming player. He's got a 1-4 record with a 5 ERA. Trevor Richards, 0-5 with a 4.4 ERA. And Pablo Lopez, 2-5 with a 5.93 ERA. You look in the bullpen, it's not much better. You know, Kinley with the 5.5 ERA. Obviously, Wei-Yin Chen, the struggles of Stecken Rider and Conley. What's gone wrong with the pitching, and is there maybe a young prospect that's playing for the Baby Cakes or the Jumbo Shrimp that at some point you'll see at this season that might take a place for one of these five starters?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, in general, yes. I mean, we're a little surprised Caleb's been as good as he's been, but yeah, overall, I think it's been disappointing considering overall the expectations of the rotation. But you have to remember, a lot of these guys were coming into their second season, and there was still going to be some growing pains. And then the problem is you can't even really look at the records for sure, because obviously that's a byproduct of them just not scoring and not being able to, you know, give these guys run support. But the ERAs are definitely higher. I mean, like, in a case like Pablo Lopez, he had a terrible start the other day that really inflated that even more. But Sandy hasn't been as good as they hoped, that's for sure. I mean, he's struggled at times. He's been hit hard. Urania's been hit hard early on. He's starting to come around a little bit right now. You know, it's going to be interesting to see that with the next maybe 5-6 starts these guys have, because then at that point, you know, not just performance-wise, but even health-wise, you wonder where they're going to be at a month from now. And, yeah, to answer your question, there is a guy at the Baby Cakes that's tearing it up right now. His name is Zach Gallen.
Boom!
And Zach Gallen is one of those guys that, you know, he's had a tremendous start. I think his first 8 starts in New Orleans, his ERA is like low 1. I mean, he's really been dominant, to the point where he's probably the best pitcher at that level right now in the entire minor leagues. He's the first in line. He'll be the first one called up the second there's an injury, or the second maybe they feel someone, you know, deserves to get, you know, sent to the Baby Cakes to maybe work on some of this stuff.
You guys can check him out on Twitter at Fernandez Andre C. Covers the Marlins for The Athletic, so make sure to check out his work there, as he and Manny do a great job of covering some South Florida sports there. Before I let you go, Andre, who will sit on the Iron Throne at the end of Sunday?
Danny, and we're all going home disappointed.
Oh, God. All right. Andre, thanks so much for the time, man, and I hope you have a good evening, a good weekend. We'll talk to you sometime soon, all right?
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right. That's Andre Fernandez again, covers the Marlins for The Athletic. He's got me pumped about Zach Gallen. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, and I think Sunday, Game of Thrones. Honestly, if Danny's the one who ends up on the throne, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm getting ready for Sansa. So.
All right, we'll see what happens.
You're cool with the lady who just killed a whole city. And if you text me, spoiler alert, get the hell out of here. It's been 5 days. You're lost.
I'm fine with it. Yes, I'm fine with it. I think it'd be actually everybody expecting her to get killed, right? It kind of be a twist for her not to die.
Well, then that means that. Oh, go. What do you say? What happened? Oh, you want me to go to break? Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry. I've let you down this whole show, right?
Been me, man. I've been letting you down.
No,
you, know
no you haven't.
We're going to do better. We're going to do better next time.
No, you haven't let me down at all. Guys, you have a couple of minutes left to text in the 6 o'clock code word. Your last chance to win $1,000. Take Dono's dollars. The word is tough. TOUGH. Text it to 72881 now. It's your chance to win $1,000. In the next hour, we'll talk to Ira Winderman. He's covering the Miami Heat at the NBA draft. Get into this Mike Conley story. And then throughout the show, we'll get into the NBA playoffs as well. And also, we got to get to Adam Gase at some point because that dude is a big buffoon. But we'll be on the air till 10 o'clock right here on 560 WQAM.